The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Craig Burley, and we will start tonight's show by talking about Sadio Mane on his way to Bayern Munich, Liverpool, reaching an agreement with the club for the sale of him. The tabloids in England with their lovely headings, as always, sad. And a value for Mane going here, money apparently a big part of the whole issue here. A three-year contract will undergo a medical next week, and it's said to be €32 million guaranteed and €9 million in add-ons, as we now welcome in Alessandro Del Piero and Stevie Nicol. Welcome in, guys. Stevie, I'd like to start with you. Sadio Mane moving on. I mean, he's a big part of everything Liverpool have achieved in recent years. How does that sit with you?
Well, I think if you'd asked me this question last Christmas, then I would have had a problem with it, considering that, you know, Salah's contract was coming to an end shortly as well. I would have been a worried man. But the truth is, the fact that between then and now, they've signed Diaz and they've also just signed Darwin Nunez actually means that they're one man stronger. Yes, of course, Mane is going to be a loss. But listen, football teams evolve and changes have to be made. And in my opinion, this is a good move. You know, you're getting great money for a guy who's 30. You brought in two players, one who already has shown he is more than capable of filling Mane's boots. But you've also added a guy in his early 20s at centre forward, which you needed already. And so you have numbers up front and you have quality. Yes, we're all sad to see Mane go, but hey, football teams evolve and it's a good move for everybody.
Do you agree with that, Ale? A good move for Sadio Mane especially?
I agree. Well, yes, I agree with the total, things that we are saying now. The good thing about this deal is the fact that everybody knows in advance what to do. So Sadio wants to leave. So, okay, they spoke with Liverpool. Everybody was okay about that. And they replaced him straight away. So that is the good part of the deal. Then somebody can prefer, him instead of other ones. And I'm kind of want to stay with the same players if they perform well. I don't want to change that much, my opinion. But in the complex, if you see the complex situation, yes, it's a good deal for everybody.
You don't like this move for Mane, do you?
I think from a football perspective, the bigger challenge was still at Liverpool, bearing in mind how strong they and Man City are. Clearly, Bayern are not as strong as they were, but they're still stronger than the rest of the Bundesliga, hence the 10 titles in a row, and they'll be strong favourites for an 11th. So from a football perspective, the biggest challenge was still in the Premier League, and obviously the Champions League. But he's been good business for Liverpool. He's played well for Liverpool. And as Stevie said, things evolve. Players change their mind. Players want to make a move. And yeah, Bayern Munich are a huge club. And he's had his heart set on it. So I don't have an issue with that. I just feel from a football perspective, the bigger challenge on the field was for me at Liverpool. Now, some might say, well, they're going to lose Lewandowski, possibly. That's it. Yes, it's a big hole. But they'll still be odds-on favourites to win the Bundesliga, for sure. So, yeah, great move to a great club. Clearly, he wanted it to happen. And I think once you've got a player who has got his heart set on moving, and probably has done for a few months now, then you take the money. And as Stevie said, you move on, and you look at what else you've got and who they've brought in. And it's not a drama.
It's not a drama. It was interesting, though, what you were saying, Ale, about you wouldn't like to change too many pieces when a team's doing so well as they are, but they were just a point behind Man City. Mane was a big part of that. Is it a risk from Liverpool to lose this piece?
Yes, it is a risk. I mean, when you have an attack performing so well, you know, and a guy like this scoring tons of goals and make a good relation with everybody at the end of the day. So it's always tough to change these kind of things. But probably inside Liverpool, they consider many other things, you know, what the player wants, first of all. That is very important because you don't want to have players in your team that doesn't want to have to stay, but, you know, at least, you know, doesn't think and have the mind in some other places, like Mane has in this moment. So, and sometimes also probably the consideration inside the Liverpool management is, you know, we're bringing new people. This is a good energy for the club because we are coming, we came from an amazing season, you know, two trophies, two second places. We need something more and something different. So now it's in the hand of Klopp to put everything in place. But to be honest, you know, he has great replacement.
What kind of a hit does it take to Liverpool, him going?
I suppose we'll find out. I mean, a lot of it will depend on the form of Firmino. Not necessarily because he'll start, but because there's now... Last year we talked about, from January onwards, three players from five. I suppose Nunez has been a strike. That's too much... That's two strikers, really. I mean, he can't play wide, Nunez. So it takes an option away from a guy who can play several positions. Through the middle, wide right, wide left, manoeuvres around the pitch. It just takes one of those options away. I don't think Firmino and Nunez can do that. But it's not a drama when you lose a player, albeit one that's been good for you, and you bring in a guy who had a great season for Benfica, who is 22 years old, who's over 6 foot, who's fast, who can score goals, who can link up, and has probably got 10 years ahead of you. Yeah, you've spent a lot of money, but it's not like they've lost Sadio Mane and they're sitting on their thumbs and it's the last day of the transfer window and they haven't brought anybody in. The business is already done. So that takes a big weight off Jurgen Klopp's shoulders.
That is a big point as well, isn't it? The age of Darwin Nunez, Ale, just 22 years old. Yes, he was very expensive, but that's a long time you could have with him if everything turns out right.
Exactly. One thing that I can add is personality. His strong personality. He knows what to do. He's facing everything and everyone with no fear. And I remember, you know, when Benfica played in Liverpool, was a big moment for him, you know, it was kind of a test because they were already talking about having him join Liverpool, and he performed super well. So, you know, it's a good place. Liverpool now is a great place to play because there's energy, the fans are amazing, and you have results. So everything looks great if you add players like this. Can only going good. It will be not easy, by the way, okay? Because what they did last year, kind of the season, play every single game possible, you know? It's unbelievable. Maybe they're going to miss some of them next year, but they're going to finish on top, or close to the top in all the competition from my point of view.
And Stevie, just to put a bow on this topic, do you think there's no hard feelings on either side then between Mane and Liverpool?
Oh, absolutely not. Not at all. You know, as a Liverpool fan, I'm honestly looking forward. I'm delighted that we had Mane. I think he was absolutely fantastic for us. He scored some great goals. He scored some big goals. But I'm looking forward, you know. And we were never going to ever get another Mane. And I'm glad Liverpool haven't tried to do that. What they've done is, they've gone and got quality, yes, but they've got two guys in Diaz and Nunez whose style is completely different to what they've had. So I think it's exciting. You know, Diaz coming off the left, different to Mane completely. He's an old-fashioned guy who will run at people and dribble past them, and he's shown that he can score goals as well. And with Darwin Nunez, again, more of an old-fashioned type centre-forward, in my opinion, which Liverpool haven't had for years. It's a completely different way of playing, whether it's going to be Nunes or Firmino. So I just think this is great. Well, thank you, Manny. But you know what? The future looks good. They've spent well. I'm looking forward.
Thank you and goodbye.
Hey, he's been taking the positivity pills.
Honestly. I feel good.
He's happy as Larry, isn't he? You just tell him, player, he's happy as Larry.
Oh,
thank
well,
him
I.
as well.
Yeah, thanks. He's thanking Daniel Larry now.
Yeah. Cheers for that.
Send him a present, Stevie, will you? Send him a card.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the 40 million family. As well.
Oh, yeah, Stevie's thank you card is in the post, and we'll find out if it gets there. Stevie will be back on tomorrow's edition of the
show.
Who's
he thanking tomorrow?
And we'll find out who he's going to thank tomorrow. But what we do want to talk about before we get to
depends
that,
who leaves.
Before we get to tomorrow's show, maybe you have to get another thank you letter ready, because Robert Lewandowski's future is still up in the air. Barcelona does still seem to be the priority right now, but it seems as though Chelsea and PSG are also hoping to get in a bit of the action too. Alessandro, what are your thoughts on him trying to force a move out of Bayern? Have you been surprised to see it?
Yes, I'm a little surprised, of course, about that. I mean, Lewandowski had an incredible season at Bayern, you know, relationship with everybody. He felt so comfortable, so happy there, but you know, something happened for sure, and he probably wants something different. Sometimes you want something different, and I mean, it's probably for sure in the best three strikers in the last season, and I think any place he's gonna be, is gonna go, it's gonna score tons of goals.
What would you do if you were him, Ale? Because there's a lot of talk about him not feeling fully valued there, despite everything he did. Do you think it is time for him to move on?
Probably. I think the only thing that is missing now is, you know, is a big achievement like a Champions League. And this is what really can make the difference. But everybody in the world of football recognizes, especially the last two seasons that he had, and the quality of the goals, the number of the goals, you know, unfortunately, they didn't give the Ballon d'Or last year. So, otherwise, he's gonna win for sure. But so it's not the perception, because really everybody in the world of football, from my point of view, players, coaches, they know how good he is. So, I think everyone is waiting. Oh, let's hope we can sign him. So that's the thing.
Yeah, obviously, because we've mentioned the clubs that are in there. They say Barcelona's the priority, but Chelsea and PSG are interested. Which one would you choose out of those if you were Robert Lewandowski?
I don't know. If PSG is going to tell you you're going to play, of course, is it, you know, play for the best FIFA 11 that you can have, you know? It's a great thing, but even last year and 2 years ago, it shows that it's not often how good player you have around you, but it's how you play, which kind of energy is in the team, and which kind of connection is in your team. And as PSG is missing something, so you know, have the possibility to play with Mbappe and Neymar and Messi at the same time. Well, who's going to defend? So, four of them is a lot in attack, but somebody has to defend.
It could be fun. Barcelona, Chelsea or PSG, where are you going, Craig, if you're Lewandowski?
Well, if they've got the money and sort the finances, I'm going to Barcelona. I think Chelsea, my old club, I think they're going to have to be very persuasive, because they've lost Rudiger, who was brilliant. They've lost Christensen, who was good and bad. They obviously have an issue with Lukaku, and it looks like they're trying to shovel him back to Italy on a loan. And the players around them are decent players, you know, Ziyech and Pulisic and Mount and Havertz. But if you go into Chelsea, is he really going to believe Thomas Tuchel if he says, look, if we get you, we can beat Manchester City? I don't think so. I think it's going to take more than that. So whether he would be convinced to go to Chelsea, even with all their money and new ownership, I don't know. If he goes to PSG, yes, they'll probably win Ligue 1, but is that going to be the difference between winning the Champions League and not, as Ali said? Because you've still got to defend. So I think, you know, Barcelona, bearing in mind they have a relatively new manager in Xavi and they play some nice football and it's a massive club. And I think he does want to go there. I think it's purely down to the fact, and we've heard it from Tebas, the big cheese in Spain, is how are they going to make it work? And at the moment, it doesn't look like they can balance the books to make this work.
Yeah, obviously, there's been some maybe more positive news in that aspect, but still no proof yet on terms of that. But some movements going forward, maybe the money could be made.
This seems very sketchy to me. This seems very Barcelona-esque. Maybe the money's moving in the right direction.
Well, yeah, there's been a vote to allow them to sell some of their assets, basically, which would raise some money.
But what does Tebas say?
Said that. Well, we'll see. We'll see if anything comes out on that. But Stevie, who are you going for?
You got to go to Barcelona if you're Lewandowski. I mean, if you win the French League at PSG, then nobody's. It's big wows. And the chances of them winning the Champions League aren't any better than they've been in previous years to me. To go to Chelsea, it's going to be a lot more demanding, I would suggest, on them physically. And as Craig said, the players around them are not going to be as good. And actually, what's the chances of them winning the league? I mean, they're way, way behind Liverpool and City. They've got a lot of signings to be made this window, and certainly in this period. And they don't even know who they're going to get yet. So why would you join a team that's in a little bit of a limbo as far as being at the top of the tree? So it has to be Barcelona. You know, Barcelona and Real Madrid are clearly going to be fighting it out for the title. And it's Barcelona, the name, the history, the whole thing. So I think if Lewandowski's given a choice, and he has a choice, I think the obvious one's Barcelona. That's what I would do.
Well, there will be no doubt more talk about transfers and also thank you cards on tomorrow's edition of the show. Don't forget we are available 7 days a week. Stevie will be back tomorrow with Dan, Don and Ali. And the Bundesliga opening weekend schedule is set. There's some fun ones there. Berlin derby on the opening weekend. Frankfurt against Bayern. Will we be seeing Mane in action there? And Dortmund against Bayer. Always an entertaining clash. That, all of it on ESPN+.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just continuing the chat on Paul Pogba and what he said in his Pogmentary after leaving Manchester United. My thought process is to show United that they made a mistake in waiting to give me a contract. How can you tell a player you absolutely want him and offer him nothing? Never seen that. Alessandro Del Piero is still with us. Why do you think it did go so wrong for Pogba at Manchester United, LA?
Well, I don't know exactly why. It's came with big expectation. I think, you know, they didn't fall in love from day one. And they show that many, many other times. And the fact that it's the wrong moment, because now Man United is not the team that we used to see. And the other side of Manchester is smiling a lot about that. And they have the best team in the Premier League in the last 10 years. So, last five, sorry. So it's kind of weird, you know, because many great players and champions went to United. But it seems that after that Alex Ferguson left, they didn't find with coaches and players any kind of feeling that they are strong enough to win again. So if you're in the middle of this mood, it's very tough to doing something great. Not good, great.
It looks like he is returning to Juventus. It's been all over the papers. How important do you think he can be for them on his return?
Fundamental, because Juve needs somebody in the midfielders, in the midfield that, you know, can take the responsibility, the leadership, and the personality. And he has all of that. He spent a great time at Juve. He has friends here. He knows the city. And so it's going to be, if they're going to sign, it's going to be a big, big deal for Juve, for sure.
I'm just taking a look at some of his accomplishments, and that's the word. We're continuing to follow this story on Paul Pogba, obviously dominating all of the headlines in Italy. We're talking about this yesterday as well. But another player who has been linked with a return to Serie A from the Premier League as well is Romelu Lukaku. Now, I don't think anybody saw it coming, how things turned out, Ale, for Lukaku at Chelsea. What do you think went wrong for him there?
Well, it's not the player that the Chelsea needs for the way that they play. And that's why he was sitting on the bench many, many times. And then in the middle of the season, he made that declaration, you know, oh, well, I fell in love with Inter. I'm still thinking about Inter. Maybe one day I'm going to come back. And then with Tuchel, they find a way to fix it. But the damage was already done. And when you say things like this, it means that your head is not in London, in some other places. So he had a great time in Inter, and they want him. They know that they're going to become stronger because Lukaku can really make a big difference in Italy in terms of physicality, and it's not the same in UK. That's the thing, you know. So going in a championship that, you know, in a league that you can be dominant, it's logic for him.
Do you think that on his return, if he is to return, he'll just pick up where he left off, that he'll be just really good again there?
You know, every return is tough, in my opinion. You know, every return is not easy because he's going to see, you have different expectations. So, but if you escape from a place that you, for some reason, you don't feel well, you don't like it, it's not like you were thinking was in your dream, it gives you a great boost when you come back and great energy. And that's what I think is thinking now, Lukaku and Inter in the same way. Now come back, we love you. You know that here you are the best for us, and we keep you high, you're going to play all the games, and you are our best striker and blah, blah, blah. So
does it tell us anything about the differences between the Premier League and the Serie A that a player like Lukaku thrives in Italy and it just didn't work out for him this time around at Chelsea?
Well, now Premier League is the best football that you can see in terms of number of teams that can perform in a high level. And what happened in the Champions League, in the Europa League, you know, how they perform is the answer. It's a different kind of sports. In some moment, you know, it seems that in Premier League you run more, you have more physicality, and you're more spectacular. It's not exactly like this because also in Italy we have this kind of things, but Italy is struggling now in the national team and also in the club teams. So the last season showed a little bit more. The win of Roma, it's a good hope for the future in the Europa competitions. So let's see. They need to become stronger. And, you know, Lukaku for Inter and Pogba for Juve could be a great move also for Italian football for become, again, you know, stronger and have a voice in the Champions League, especially.
Ale just mentioned Roma, obviously. Tammy Abraham as well had a great season with them under Jose Mourinho. Do you think this is showing the differences between the two leagues?
I never like to really start comparing one league to another because they've all got their strengths and weaknesses. And it, And I've always said it's a cycle. You know, for a long time, the Premier League clubs struggled in the Champions League, got nowhere near it, and then they came back strong. We've seen it in Spain, we've seen it in Italy, we've seen it in Germany. At the moment, the Italian teams are not quite as strong as they were. Obviously, we've seen Juventus in the Champions League final in recent years. I think I might be wrong, but the last one being in Cardiff when Real Madrid beat them. I think it's just these players getting an opportunity. Tammy Abraham's got an opportunity that he didn't get at Chelsea on a regular basis. And to go back to Ali's point on Lukaku, there's always been a question mark, right or wrong, about Lukaku in England. When he was on loan as a youngster, I think it was West Brom and Everton, when he was at Man United, and even when he was scoring goals, there was question marks from within that camp, and that's why they let him go. And he feels happy at Inter Milan. He feels happy in Italy. He's not happy at Chelsea. That was crystal clear. He probably didn't even want to make the move. But Inter needed the money. Chelsea needed a striker. And so they made it happen that he went back to that club. But he never looked completely comfortable from the offset, from one, being in London and playing back in England, and two, knowing, I think, that the Chelsea fans were not convinced that he was the guy that was going to propel them back to the top of the Premier League. And I think in the back of his mind, he always knew that. And then, as I said, I think yesterday, once he gave that interview that was very negative towards being at the club, the supporters turned even more on him and they just cranked the pressure up. And I'm afraid he just couldn't handle that pressure. So it's a win-win in the end if they get him out, but Chelsea will never get that transfer fee back, obviously.
Yeah, and speaking of transfers, you do wonder if Lukaku will get to reignite that partnership that he had with Lautaro Martinez. He's been linked with a €90 million move to Spurs, but the reports are that Inter want to keep him. How good is he, Ale, for you?
Well, he's definitely become a great player because, you know, he's good in scoring goals, he's good in assists, and he run non-stop, you know, he make movement for the other players, so he's very generous. He find himself also in a national team in Argentina, so, you know, a kind of role. And we saw him grow a lot in terms of personality and presence inside the field. So now he became a really great player from my point of view. And adding on that, there's a lot of talk in Italy also about Dybala joining Inter. So if eventually Inter can put together Lukaku, Dybala and Lautaro Martinez, whoa, it's a big roster.
Do you think there's still more to come from Lautaro Martinez then, if something like that's to happen?
Well, it depends if Inter needs money or not. You know, the situation in Inter on that side is not clear yet. So there's not a lot of rumors about Lautaro Martinez moving from Inter, but there's still something. So I think the next couple of weeks it will be very important to understand his future at Inter.
There'll be more talk about this, transfers and the Pogmentary, on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. Gab apparently starring in the Pogmentary. Download that wherever you do get your podcasts. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Now, I promise I had no influence on this story today. This is Fabrizio Ravanelli unveiling the new Borough kit because they have returned to their partnership with Erea, which is an Italian manufacturer of kits. And so, for a nice publicity stunt,
he's keeping himself,
Fabrizio Ravanelli.
He's keeping himself fit, old Fabrizio. He's looking, he must be doing all that biking, all that cycling that he used to do in the hills and mountains where he comes from. Clearly, I've not taken the same approach. But yeah, there's lots of Middlesbrough. I saw a bit of this online earlier from my old teammate, and I thought lots of Middlesbrough fans were getting a little bit upset, you know.
About what?
About him doing that.
Some would, some wouldn't. It's right. one of those. And that was the same in the dressing room, apparently.
Right.
But it's interesting because you played with him, so yeah. did Del Piero. Right. Won the Champions League with him. I actually looked at that front line. You, Ravanelli and Vialli. And then I was just going through that team as well. Deschamps, Conte, Souza, Lippi was the manager. Have you got any funny stories about Ravanelli?
I mean, there's a funny story now because, you know, when we see each other to play some football, you know, friendly, you know, or charity events. Now, because he ride bicycle, I mean, I don't know, he's going to do 300 kilometers per day, something like this. He fell in love with that. I mean, when I saw the first time coming, you know, after 3-4 years on bicycle, and say, okay, Gerava, come to play football with us, you know, in a friendly game. He wasn't moving like a football player. He was running like, you know, he was on the bike. And I say, what's going on? We were laughing, all of that, all of us, you know, what's happening, you know? But it was an amazing guy, you know. It's the generosity, the runs, you know. You mentioned the Champions League, he scored in the final with his right foot. And from, I don't know how he did it, because it was a very uncomfortable position, close to the goal line, but very far away. So it's we had a lot of fun with that team, you know, not only because we won, but we were a really good team, good human beings. And for me as a younger on that team was priceless, having leaders like him, like Vialli, like Baggio as well, you know, not in the Champions League, but the years before. And then many, many others that some of them you already said.
I honestly get annoyed with some fans in England when they talk about Ravanelli, about the money and stuff, and he was only there for the money. That's the biggest lie, and that's the biggest untruth and factually incorrect statements that I've ever heard. He was paid what he was paid because he was one of the best strikers in the planet at the time. And trust me, and I'm sure Ali will back me up, this guy trains harder and as hard as anybody.
Yep.
Even in my time in Derby in the Premier League with him at a team that was struggling, he never turned his back. Okay, he might not have played well, but he was in every day. Every day, Rav, have a day off. No, I'm training. If he had a day off, he's at the gym. So it's factually incorrect to talk about people like this coming just for the money. The money is great for them, but these guys are super professional. In fact, I heard a story, Ali, about this Juventus team that it might have been from Vialli, that they used to have a competition to see who could be in the earliest to be in the gymnasium. Is there any truth in that?
It's true. It's true. And yeah, for sure, Fabrizio was one of the first many, many times, because as you say, it was very, very generous. You can say a lot of things about Fabrizio, but for sure not that he didn't put his heart and his mind, his leg, everything that he has on the field. And what Vialli said is completely true, because we start in those seasons, you know, we're training a lot. And, you know, in order to be prepared about the very tough training, especially in the preseason when we train 3 times a day, you know, you come in a gym early. Early means 6:30, 7 o'clock, to spend an hour and a half by your own and doing your things, you know, because this is our mentality in that time. If we can spend 1 inch or, you know, or 10 of them or a little piece more in order to improve it, you're going to do it. And I did it. Everybody did it in that team. And this is for sure one of our secrets, because, you know, when you want more from yourself and from the other ones, it's become a competition inside. Well, I spent an hour and a half in the gym. What about you? Oh, yeah, it was an hour and 45. No, I didn't see you. So it's starting things like this, you know. Oh, hey, I'll see you tomorrow at 6:30. No, 6:45. You know what? So it was a great time, tough because we spend a lot of time, especially in the gym, but, you know, we're really, really fun.
They always call the Juve players the little soldiers, right, LA? Because you're all like soldiers, always on time, always.
Who was the little guy that played on the? Who was the little guy, Ali? I can't remember his name. Played on the wide right or wide left position. Little stocky guy for Juve.
Wide left position.
Left or right? I can't remember. I can't remember what was his name.
You mean left back or right back?
No, forward.
Maybe Ali Ravanelli and Padovano, maybe?
No, different name.
No?
No.
It's going to come to you later. It's funny, though, you're talking about that with Ravanelli.
But it's a different mentality altogether.
Yeah, he came from Juve to Middlesbrough, and even though it was divided, and for anybody who doesn't know at home, he was at Middlesbrough for one season. He scored a hat-trick on his league debut against Liverpool. They got to two cup finals that season, lost both of them, got relegated that season as well, and then he moved on.
But
it was a strange time.
He told me when he arrived at Middlesbrough, he couldn't believe how some of the things were so unprofessional.
And that's where I'm going, because he said you need to have a better training ground than this. And he says they followed what I said. I was telling them what we had at Juve. And, you know, Middlesbrough's training facilities now are world class. So, and they've kept that relationship, you can
see. But it's interesting the mentality in British players, and it's probably changed now, but the mentality of the British player, and I'm sort of generalising England, Scotland, blah, 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 because it's all pretty much the same, is if training started at 10:30 at Chelsea or Celtic or wherever it was I was playing, as a generalisation, unless you needed some treatment or some stretching, you would come in at 10 a.m. When Viale, Di Matteo and Zola, amongst others, Leboeuf and blah, 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 but mainly the Italians, when they arrived at Stamford Bridge, we'd come in at 10 o'clock and the first thing we would do is go to put the kettle on and have a cup of tea and sit and have a chat. But they would already be in the gym from like an hour before. But it's just, it's not unprofessional and professional. It's the way that the British players did it and prepared. And it's the way the Italian players did it and prepared. And I think now we're seeing a lot more of that Italian method through all the clubs, not just in England, but around Europe. But, the big clubs in England, half hour, 30 minutes before training, maybe 20, kit on, out, cup of tea, train. Italian boys, no, slightly different.
Did you used to hear rumours of this, LA, in Italy, about what it was like in England? Did your teammates tell you what it had been like on their experiences?
Yes, I did. First of all, it's, instead of tea, we ate cappuccino. So that's the main difference, you know, not only the time. Yeah, it's a different mentality. As Craig say, you know, you can't say that this is good, this is bad. You know, it's mentality. You have different approach of the things. In that time, that was our way. The way, you know, to approach the training at least 1 hour before. And you know, but 1 hour before, it means that you arrive an hour and a half, and then you prepare yourself. So an hour before, you do your stuff. Even if it's a treatment, or even if it's in the gym, or even to talk with, you know, to your teammates, or to the coach, and having some video session, something like this. So during these years, you know, things change for every club. Now everyone want to improve in different ways, so there's different approach. And some of the teams, you know, it's funny because Conte, when he came the first time in England, you know, I was speaking with him and say, you know, we lost. You know how Conte is, you know. He hates lose. So it's for him, it's incomprehensible. So if you lose a game, you're going to do 3 trainings more than next week, you know, straight after. If he can training after the game, he's going to training after the game. So, but he doesn't know about this. He doesn't know that in the English player want to have a day off. So at the first time for him, it was kind of incomprehensible. It was unbelievable. Well, we lost. We need to training. I can't give you a day off. It was a kind of, I don't want to say fighting, but, you know, it's something that you need to learn from different cultures. It's, you know, sometimes it's better day off. Sometimes it's better one more day in training instead of day off. It depends on the things.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Ravanelli, so then he goes to Marseille, Lazio, and then he ends up with you at Derby.
Yeah, I don't know how he ended up back in England at Derby, because we were, my God, it was not a very good team. And it was always heading towards the relegation. So, and also for him, the supply chain was going to be limited. You know, you're not, when you're playing at the top end of the league, you're getting quite a few chances, and when you're playing at the bottom, you're not getting very many. So it was tough for him, and a lot of managerial changes, but they come up with the cash. But listen, I enjoyed playing with all the guys from Italy and beyond. They were great professionals, good guys, and yeah, I wished I was as fit as him now, but I can't cycle 300 kilometres a day or whatever he's doing. He's a madman on a bike. Him and he used to tell me, I'm going out with my brother, he's a policeman, and they go, and I'm like, oh my God, this man's nuts. But he just loves keeping himself fit. That's what he does.
Let's talk about another Italian player.
Oh, and he's got an olive oil farm. I don't know if he's still got it.
A farm?
Well, an olive oil...
Right.
Whatever you call it, and he makes olive oil and doesn't like that rubbishy stuff we have in England.
Yeah, it has to be the good stuff.
Good stuff.
Let's talk about another Italian player, though. Last time you were on LA, we talked about Giorgio Chiellini going to LAFC. It's been made official since then. I'm just wondering if you've been on the phone to him to tell him, listen, this is my town. You have to go by what I say.
Of course, he calls me. He called me. We spoke about that, and now I'm going to try to give him some good suggestion, especially in the restaurant side. I think it's a great move for him, you know. He was ready to move on from Juve because, you know, he spent all his life and he was captain and he won incredible number of trophies. So, but I was speaking with him and I say, yeah, it's a good time for me to leave this club. So that's, you know, when you put your heart in peace, it's good. And he wants this kind of a new adventure. And he signed a good deal from my point of view, because also with the club, they kind of agree, listen, you're going to play, but help us as well in our defense and tell to our young players what is the secret of how defend very well, like you did for your career. So that's a good move.
Yeah, free transfer, and hopefully he'll be getting free food at Del Piero's restaurant.
Well, he'll be...
No, not free. He's gonna pay.
There's a coupon.
He'll be eating in his car in LA with all that traffic.
Okay, this is the weekend schedule in MLS. This is how it looks. Saturday, you can see Seattle Sounders against LAFC on ABC. Galaxy taking on Timbers on ESPN. And Sunday, Atlanta United against Inter Miami on ESPN2. All the rest of the games on Plus. A lot more talk about MLS and some upset about the host cities. You'll have to check out the latest Football Americas for the 2026 World Cup. Herc is not happy. Checking out this show.
Those two are never happy. Trust me.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't forget to tune in for the second leg of the Segunda playoff final between Girona and Tenerife to find out who will be playing their football in La Liga next season. It's currently 0-0 after the first leg. This will be the decider on who joins Almeria and Valladolid as the promoted clubs. Transfer news for you. Yves Bissouma has joined Spurs from Brighton. That's subject to the granting of a work permit. Initial €25 million fee there. There could be some performance-related add-ons. Fabio Vieira set to join Arsenal from Porto at €40 million, all in on that one. And LUFC, Leeds United, have announced Mark Rocker will be joining from Bayern Munich for €12 million. All midfielders on the move here. Luis Garcia, congratulations to him. He has achieved his UEFA Pro license. He says it's been a long journey, lots of hours, 3 years and many practices, but finally we are here. So a big congratulations to Luis Garcia for putting in the work. We wonder if he's going to be in a coaching job or if he's going to be here for La Liga next season.
Tell Stevie. Stevie will send him a card.
Stevie will send him a well done.
Well done card.
Thank you for putting in the word, Luis Garcia, at the work that would be. Thanks so much for joining us. Stick around for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We're back. Don't know if these guys will be answering your tweets. Hopefully none about the Pogmentary, because Craig never wants to hear that word again. We have Alessandro Del Piero, Stevie Nicol, and as you can see, Craig Burley. First question is to Stevie. Where does Mane rank alongside other LFC legends? Can he be in the same conversation with Barnes?
Ooh. I'd have to say no. He's not a kick in the backside off it, though. But if you're looking at Barnsley in particular, then, you know, you talk about... Barnes was basically in the same sort of position that Salah's in. He was the man. You know, when you got the ball, he was the first guy you looked for. If you can give it to Barnsley, give it to him, because you know something's going to happen. So, yeah, as good as Mane is and was, I don't think he's at the level of Barnes, no.
All right, the next one is for Ale. With Pogba returning, a full year of Vlahovic and key players returning from long absences, such as Chiesa and McKinney, do you think Juve will be back challenging for the Scudetto next season?
Yes. Yes and yes, for sure. Juve this year missed for sure something in the midfield. So if Pogba return, it's a great add for them in terms of quality and personality. And with Chiesa 100% and Vlahovic 100%, definitely yes.
Okay, look out everyone else. Juve could be back next season. You heard it from the man himself. All right, Craig, who is most likely to win the Ballon d'Or first? Haaland, Mbappe or Nunez?
Mbappe. Maybe. Mbappe or Haaland?
All right.
I mean, probably Mbappe, I think, because he's been on the bigger stage for a little bit longer. He's won a World Cup, let's not forget, as a teenager. Almost won the Champions League when they got beat by Bayern. And scored a lot of goals last year in France. So I'm going to say Mbappe.
Would you agree, Stevie?
I'm finding it hard to separate them, to be honest. I mean, if Haaland takes City over the edge, as far as goals and Champions League is concerned, then maybe Haaland. I think, see, if France win the World Cup, though, that kind of puts Mbappe right in there, because that means he'll have done well.
God,
I think that's
on,
a tough
man.
One. I can't separate them. Oh, there you go.
Right. So
I think it's between the two of them, but I can't separate them.
How about Joe winner, Stevie? And then you can send two cards.
No, I'm not into Joe winners. One card at a time, son, you know.
But you can't separate them.
Well, I can't.
We didn't say the questions were going to be easy, Stevie.
Will.
If you had to put your money on it.
Right, Mbappe.
All right. Ale, who are you going for? Who will win the Ballon d'Or first from these three, Ale, for you?
No, easy.
I agree with Craig. For sure, Mbappe is they want more ready.
Okay.
I said Mbappe as well, Ali.
At a push.
Yeah, I know, but he said first.
All right.
He said first.
All right.
Yeah, I said
all right.
Hold off.
Do you know, actually, Ali, it's the first time I've spoken to you since Mbappe came out and said that he would be staying at PSG. Were you surprised with his decision in the end?
Yes. Yes, I was surprised. Because, you know, I don't know which kind of scheme they had in mind. Mbappe on one side and PSG on the other one. So I don't know what's going on. It was for sure a weird situation, you know, when you were ready with, you know, zero cost to move everywhere and Real Madrid wants you. Yeah, for sure you're going to sign for Real Madrid. This is what I was thinking. So it was big surprise for the timing, especially, you know, and the last call.
What did you think about Erling Haaland choosing Manchester City? Because he had lots of options. Do you think that's going to be the right move for him?
Yeah, we were talking about Lewandowski before, you know, and then probably Lewandowski is the best option, in my opinion, for Man City, because it's very, he knows how to play every ball, for right, left, head, and everything, you know. He's good also in assists. So, but surprised me a little bit, and this love story regarding, you know, his father first, that's something that's very interesting, to be honest, because there's something more than just a move for money or join the team that play the best football, or they have a great possibility to win Champions League because they didn't do it yet. So that thing is, for me, is very important. And the guy is amazing in terms of energy, in terms of the way that he celebrates his teammates' goal, not his goal, his teammates' goal. So that's really priceless for me. And is a big, big move for Man City.
Do you think it's the right move then? I can't quite tell whether you like the story. Do you think that that's where he fits best, Ale?
Yes, because when you want something really with your heart first than your mind, it's always the right choice.
Yeah, fair enough. Craig, let's see what you've got to answer to this one.
Oh, go on.
Why hasn't Manchester United looked at other transfer targets? I understand Frankie de Jong is their priority, but there is little news on any other position, especially a holding midfielder and defenders.
Well, don't always just believe what you read in the newspapers or on your social media. Clubs are always... Frankie de Jong's been the one that's been prevalent because the connection with Ten Hag and Ajax and Holland. And obviously he's been not bad at Barcelona, but we haven't always seen the best of him. And they need to offload some players as well, and he's a sellable asset. But he's a big name, and so he has been in the headlines, but I've absolutely no doubt. I mean, goodness gracious, there's no way. Ten Hag had watched Man United a lot last year. He already knows he'll have a good idea of how many players they need and in what positions they need them in. So there will be lots of work behind the scenes in the background trying to do deals and get players out and get players in. Most of them we won't read about or hear about until the end. That's just normal. And if they're not doing that, they're in even bigger trouble than they were last year. So, yeah, they will be.
Alessandro Del Piero, do not feel bad about the next question, because the rest of the panel will also need to decide what they're doing this winter. Who is Del Piero supporting in the World Cup?
Can I skip the question?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm still recovering from North Macedonia. Lost, so it's and I didn't put my mind yet, you know, because at some point I will cheer for someone. I don't know, maybe it will be Argentina because of the last Messi World Cup, or maybe Portugal because it's last Ronaldo. So two amazing players that we enjoy so much in the last 15 years, you know, and you kind of want them to win, you know, something big like the World Cup. But you never know. I mean, I don't know. I'm sad. Move on.
Yeah,
would it be a good story for, like, say, I mean, I think there's more chance probably of... Is there more chance of Argentina over Portugal winning it? I mean, Portugal...
I think in the bookies list, yes.
I think Portugal are always a sort of dogged, determined side, although they've got a lot more skillful players now. And yeah, it could be Messi. It's probably going to be both the last World Cups. So that would be a nice story for one of them, wouldn't it?
Didn't you say Argentina won't be winning it, though, yesterday?
Correct. Yes, I did. And I've not... At no point have I said they will win it. I said it will be a nice story for us neutrals. You know, look at Stevie and I. We played at World Cup for a country that's never... What chance have we got to win in the World Cup? Or Scotland.
Or of supporting your team in it.
Zero. Zero.
Zero.
Well, guys, I'm sorry. Now.
Yeah, they're not even there now.
There is a good option with a club that have three lions on their shirt.
Look at that.
You could just try.
England? What, the team that just lost 4-0 to Hungary?
They're just fooling everybody now. This is not what you see.
Yeah. Change it to Pussycats.
all right. Craig and Stevie, and I will ask Ali this as well. I'll start with you, Stevie. Now that you've been in the States for a bit and you both love the US soccer culture, if one of your friends across the pond asked for recommendations, which 2026 World Cup site are you sending them to? And does that pick involve good food and beverage?
I don't understand that question.
Okay, right, so let's get the host cities off.
Which one of the stadiums, if indeed you know which ones they are, which one of the stadiums in the cities they're in the US, Stevie, are you telling a buddy to go to for a watch a game and have a bit of a good time?
Easy. Easy peasy. Go to Gillette Stadium and get yourself right into Boston. Have a great night out in Boston, then the next day get yourself down to Gillette. Watch the football, back into Boston, and have another good night out. Absolutely easy peasy.
Okay, I'm going to go with the US list. Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, LA, New York, New Jersey, Miami, Philadelphia, San Fran, and Seattle.
Well, there's lots there. I'm not with Stevie on it, I tell you, Boston. I mean, Boston's a nice city, but Miami, no? No?
Yeah, I mean, I can vouch for that. Miami, great place to visit, live also. Yeah, you were just saying that.
I guess if you like dancing, Miami is probably a good
stadium.
One.
Great stadium.
There's lots. I mean, I'm hearing that California's horrible, though. too many Italians.
I wonder if LA knows any good restaurant recommendations in that area.
Listen. There is a couple of cities very interesting, like Kansas City in terms of involvement in the soccer, and Seattle for sure. There's a great environment. But come on, if I'm looking at the question and the last part of the question that involved food, well, for sure LA, great stadium, but especially because of my restaurant. So easy answer.
Well, maybe he'll do a World Cup deal, a discount deal at the World Cup.
Yeah, he's going to do three courses for $15.99.
Hey, Ali, have you got any coupons?
Yeah.
I like a coupon myself.
For all the SPN employees, there is a coupon. Only one condition. If we do this show at my restaurant.
Oh, I'm in.
Listen, I know that Dan's the main host on this show, but seeing as though Ali said this when I'm on the show, I think I have to be there.
Ali, I presume your chefs cook. Do they cook nice steak?
No.
Well done. Stevie only likes it well done.
I give you another one. If you are coming, guys, I'm gonna cook for you. So. Pray before coming.
What's your speciality dish, Ale? Yours? What do you make best?
I better go check all my. I better check I've got all my jabs and stuff then if Ali's going to be cooking.
Hey,
my
Ali.
Speciality is salad.
Listen,
Listen, if you were, Ali, if you were to guess how long Stevie put spaghetti in the boiling water to cook it for, how long would you say?
Listen, I mean, if it's more than 7 minutes, you can't eat that.
Stevie, tell him how long you put it in for.
What?
Stevie, tell him.
Oh, it's got to be about 20 minutes.
Oh, Ale, he thinks al dente is an Italian player.
7 minutes. Hey, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't be Italian, that boy. You can't be Italian. 7 minutes. Seriously.
Well, you definitely can't.
Do you remember on the show he said, how long should you cook? Remember he said, how long should you cook spaghetti for? And we were all thinking, oh dear.
How long do you
leave the spaghetti in the boiling water for? And they said, sometimes about 25 minutes. We were like, what?
Stevie, you do know it tells you on...
palate to the rest of you.
Stevie, it does always tell you on the side of the pasta how long you should cook it for.
I was never good at reading instructions on anything, so don't worry about that.
Instructions?
Oh, wow. OK. Well, we'll do the show on location anyway from Ale's restaurant. All right, lastly,
Magic.
Craig, you said you couldn't care less about the Pogmentary.
Correct.
Or any other players' documentaries.
Correct.
However, is there any footballing or sports documentary that you actually liked? Have you watched The Last Dance?
No. What's that about?
Michael Jordan.
Oh, basketball?
Yeah.
No. Because I'm like motor racing, I watched the Ayrton Senna documentary.
Brilliant.
About his fatal crash at Imola. That was really well done. That kind of stuff I watch, maybe something on golf. That's about it.
But you have not seen The Last Dance?
I've got no interest.
But you used to play basketball?
Yeah, when I was 14. 20 years ago.
But it's brilliant. No? Not for you?
No interest, no.
What, Ale, we were talking a lot yesterday about Paul Pogba's new documentary, which is called The Pogmentary, which Craig wasn't a big fan of. Will you be watching it?
Maybe. Maybe.
Diplomatic.
Well, I'm going to watch the time that I'm cooking the pasta.
Yeah.
Well, you could watch a film.
Well, Stevie could watch a whole film.
Stevie could watch a film.
The whole trilogy of Lord of the Rings while he cooks his pasta.
No, I've
heard that. It'd be a short one if he's only cooking pasta. Seven minutes.
Is it worth watching?
It really, really worth watching. So much so that my mum, who doesn't follow basketball, was like, that was absolutely brilliant.
Well, maybe I'll watch it.
Yes, you should. And it takes you right back to the 90s, everything, music, the lot. It's great. See? Alessandro Del Piero says so.
Yeah. The Last Dance was amazing.
When I've got a bit of time, I'm in working here all the time. I just don't have time.
What about you, Ale? Have you watched any other sports documentaries that you liked?
I watched The Last Dance and I really love it. I grew up with Michael Jordan and those Chicago Bulls, so it was great to see something like this. I'm always interested in watching documentaries, especially in the sports. I watch Usain Bolt, really good. I suggest to watch it because it's really good. I really love it.
What about you, Stevie? Where do you stand on sports documentaries?
Well, the last one I watched was in the All Blacks. It was absolutely fantastic. But the documentaries you're talking about are proper documentaries. That Pogba nonsense, and the same way Antoine Griezmann. I mean, that's not a documentary. That's just a fluff piece to, oh, look at me, look what I did, oh, and oh, I'm really sad, it didn't go well here. I mean, that's not a documentary. Somebody making a bit of themselves and trying to make themselves look good. And actually, watching it is painful because you're sitting cringing. Listening to the nonsense and...
You're talking about Neymar?
There's nothing genuine about it. But he's another one. I mean, add Neymar to the Griezmann one and now this Pogba
nonsense. Well, Griezmann didn't do a documentary,
nonsense.
did he?
Well, he did the decision, right?
Yeah,
well,
it was just a... Right. It was a video
Right, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're not... You can't call these proper documentaries. The stuff that you saw the All Blacks one as well, Craig, didn't you? I mean, that's a proper documentary. It's fantastic. It's factual and it tells you everything you need to know. It's not a fluff piece, somebody trying to look good and actually end up looking stupid. Doesn't count. Poggumentary, no thanks.
What do you call that?
Poggumentary.
We'll end it there then, shall we? Just renamed it to the Poggumentary. Thanks so much for sending your tweets in. These guys will be doing it all again tomorrow. Make sure to stay up to date with us every single day here on ESPN FC.